This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, January 31st. Well, yesterday we had a good push to the upside, led by soybeans, which pulled corn and wheat higher. They were following along pretty easily in the beginning of the trading session, but boy, by mid-session, they really did not want to go higher, corn and wheat anyway. Soybeans continued to hold their gains, and they closed strong, but wheat and corn really did not close all that well. Corn was about mid-range. Wheat was also mid-range, right about the same level that it opened. So if you're a candlestick person, you're looking at some dojis that developed yesterday, at least in Chicago wheat. So the wheat market, again, struggling to maintain that upward momentum despite some strength in soybeans pulling corn higher. Some of the reasons yesterday, of course, were cold weather coming into the southern plains, adding a little concern about winter kill, but I think that was a little overdone. That would affect the cattle space more than wheat. It's not going to get that cold. You don't have snow cover, of course, in the southern and central plains, at least in the western plains, although there is some expected to fall before the cold hits. But again, it's not going to get that bitterly cold, it doesn't seem like. So the wheat market would be tough to maintain this upward momentum based on this cold snap coming through. And it's going to be a fast-moving cold snap as well. We're also looking at the soybean market, getting a little concerned about rain delays in soy harvest in Brazil, and also some dryness that's returning to Argentina. So after a couple weeks of some pretty nice rains across most of the growing region of Argentina, at least replenishing some topsoil moisture, it looks like the first half of February, it's going to return to dry conditions. We don't look for any intense heat, but the dryness could quickly sap the topsoil moisture and return us to a stressful situation for the crop in Argentina. Now, Argentina is the world's largest soy meal exporter. They don't export a lot of the raw soybeans. They crush most of their beans, and so they sell the meal, sell the oil. Meal demand, of course, has been pretty strong, in particular from China. So just the threat that you could return to a declining yield situation in Argentina really has it kind of brought the bulls back into the soy complex. At the same time, of course, you've got hedge funds wanting to be long corn and soybeans. They're looking at generally tight supplies of stocks for old crop and wanting to establish those long positions. Looking at a stock market they expect to be weaker, and so commodities supposedly are the place to be. All kinds of reasons for them to be in the corn and bean market, and they're pretty heavily long. And so wheat is going to be the short leg of that spread, as it so often is, and they have a sizable short position in wheat that they've continued to increase, in fact. So that's another reason I think the wheat market is just going to struggle here. So when you look at what is the prospect for wheat, I do think we're in a longer term bear market. We're going to be starting the growing season in the far south here in a couple weeks. We're going to need some rain in West Texas. There is moisture coming through at least the eastern half of Texas, and then it moves on to the Delta region. Some of the forecasts suggesting that the system will include West Texas, the southern part of West Texas, and then that system further develops into a broader system moving east. We'll see if that West Texas area gets some, but I think that we're looking at potential rains coming into the southern plains. Now, it's also worth noting that the weather guys are leaning pretty heavily that La Nina will be gone by March, and that at least you'll have a neutral ENSO pattern as we get started into the growing season. That certainly bodes better for more weather systems to come through the southwest U.S., and of course then that moves through the southern plains and up into the central plains in that typical pattern of rainfall, the monsoon rains. Of course, you can't bank on that, but it does open up the probability of better monsoon rains coming into the southwest as we head into the growing season. In other news, Sovcon out of Russia putting out some estimates. They're looking, according to Rostat, which is the statistical agency out of Russia, they are estimating that on-farm wheat stocks as of January 1 are at 22.1 million tons, which is up 42% over the five-year average. Now, this is for larger farms. It does not include stocks that are stored off-farm somewhere else. A couple reasons for that, of course, are record production out of Russia this past year. Rostat has that estimate at 104.4 million tons, whereas USDA is still stuck at 91. Now, this compares to last year's 75 million tons. So, you know, just an off-the-chart production performance coming out of Russia. It's up 30 million over last year's production, according to Rostat. And also, the first half of their marketing year, which starts on July 1, was pretty slow. They had high export taxes. The ruble was fairly strong. They just were struggling to get things rolling. And it looked like, you know, the war was going to have a pretty big impact on them. But when they opened up that corridor, you know, that obviously was a huge benefit to them. So exports have picked up significantly since then. In fact, in January alone, it's estimated that their exports for wheat will be 4 million tons. That's double of what they did a year ago. So they are definitely picking up the pace. They've had pretty decent weather, too, so far this winter. So they've been able to keep things moving out of their shallow water ports in addition to the deep water. So they're on track for record exports, but they're still going to end up with a fair amount of carryover from this past production year. The estimate for the second half of their marketing year for exports, according to Sovcon, they're projecting around 21.3 million tons. That compares to last year's second half of the year at 10.9. So, of course, last year they're going to be running tighter on stocks, but basically their exports are going to be double this second half of the year compared to where they were a year ago. So, and this, I think, really hammers home the headwinds facing this wheat market. You had just an enormous crop out of Russia, and they're exporting it. The early suggestions were that they just would not be able to handle that kind of volume through the ports. But good weather and logistics, they are getting it done. And then you've got a record crop for the third year in a row coming out of Australia. So you've got hard red winter wheat out of Russia, soft white wheat out of Australia, record production. You've got a fair amount of feed wheat out of Australia because of some rains on mature wheat, but that too is finding a home, and it's supplanting U.S. corn in those important Asian feed grain markets. So, you know, you've got a lot of headwinds coming into the wheat space and also the corn space. So I just think it's really difficult to paint a bullish picture for wheat other than the dry conditions that have lingered in the Southwest plains. So if that continues, yes, that would be bullish, at least in the early part of the growing season. But the central plains look fine. The Midwest is fine. The northern plains are in a much better position than they've been in quite a while. So you still have that dry region of the western, southern, and central plains. That is an important hard red winter wheat region, granted. But if La Nina fades and if those rains come as normal, then I think it's, and you have an additional 2 million acres seeded. It's just tough to paint that bullish picture. So we want to be, you know, looking for sell signals in our normal seasonal patterns, and I think we're coming into one. It hasn't been that big of a rally, but typically the market tends to have some sort of topping pattern in early February, and we're certainly getting into that window. So, you know, we're looking at this rally that we've had here over the last couple of weeks. I think that we want to be prepared for some sell signals and jump on them when they happen. Typically, the market tends to peak right around the crop report. This year, it's February 8th, which is a week from tomorrow. I think that you could, you know, maybe paint a picture of the market's going to hang in there until then. We might get some positive data from USDA on corn and beans. You know, corn production probably will ratchet down again in Argentina, so that would be supportive. And if the dryness is lingering, you know, that's going to be supportive. That could, you know, help wheat stay supported. But if we're rallying into that crop report, I think you really need to lean on the market and get some sales on the books. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.